And this morning, President Biden took credit for a jobs report out today that was better than expected.
I would humbly suggest this is a significant improvement from when I took office and a sign that we're on the right track.
But he also joked about having to rush back to the Oval Office to pressure fellow Democrats into voting for his big spending agenda just days after an election thrashing.
Meantime, Democrats in the House huddled late into the night last night, and they hope that today's the day they will finally pass a $1.85 trillion social spending bill, which now includes work permits for some immigrants. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Rick Klein is a political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
And Eugene Daniels, White House correspondent for Politico. Eugene, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, Rick, once again, we are talking about the Democrats' social spending bill. It would include universal pre-K, climate funding, expanded Medicare benefits. Are the Democrats truly, honestly, cross my heart, going to get this spending deal done?
I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, we've been on the precipice so many times, and we know just another blown deadline as recently as last week. I do think there's been a new sense of resolve in the wake of Tuesday's disastrous elections for Democrats. But we've also seen a split in opinion among some Democrats, some moderates who think this is a sign that things should get slowed down, maybe pared back. Meanwhile, some progressives say that it's a sign that they need to just get things done. The fact that Speaker Pelosi and President Biden are both in the latter camp, I think, moves toward a deal. And I think there's more optimism around that. But with every passing hour, again, it just feels like we have been in this before, and Democrats have been so close yet so far.
And Eugene, speaking of the moderates, are some of them thinking about how this is going to play back in the districts? Some members, sure, they'll deliver new bridges, roads, social benefits. Others, I imagine, could get pushback for raising taxes, and the midterms are just 1 year away.
Exactly. This, what we saw on Tuesday, kind of gave everyone a choose your own adventure for the kind of message they wanted to tell this week, right? You have, you know, you have moderates who say, just like Rick was saying, maybe we have to pare this back. Maybe we don't go as hard as we were thinking. But then you have progressives saying, well, this was about a moderate candidate. This was about not doing anything, not passing these reconciliation bill. And so I think what the focus is right now is at some point, this reconciliation social spending bill will get done. But first it has to get through the House. That's supposed to happen today. But then it goes to the Senate. It's just going to be rewritten, not completely, but pretty substantially, right? Because of a lot of different reasons. This infrastructure bill, though, you know, that's what President Biden's hoping to be able to sell to the American people because, one, it was bipartisan. A lot of everyone knows a bridge or a pothole in their hometown that they have an issue with. And so that is what you're going to start seeing is they're probably going to have, some huge Rose Garden moment. And so Friday, today, the president's hoping to get his infrastructure bill sent to his desk, and he has these job numbers that he can tout. So that's where the White House is, which is where I'm at right now, is focused on.
Huh. Rick, one of the reasons that bill is going to get rewritten is because House Speaker Pelosi is trying to put paid family leave back into the bill. And we know that the centrist Democrat Joe Manchin is not going to support that in the Senate. Here he is on CNN yesterday.
Come together, realize what can and can't be done. Don't force basically something that's not going to happen to make people believe it will.
What is the strategy there in the House? Why is Nancy Pelosi still pushing for things that can't pass?
Yeah, and Joe Manchin has even suggested he's not really paying attention to what happens in the House because it won't matter anyway. I think it's about showing good faith to both sides. Look, the moderates want the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The progressives want the social spending bill. So Pelosi, the only way she can get votes for either one of them is to promise votes and deliver votes for both. So yes, House Democrats know that they'll be passing something in the neighborhood of $1.75 trillion that is not going to become law. It's going to have to be changed. But at this point, it's gone on so long that without getting that on the books, getting that done, the prospects of getting the other bill remain distant. So it's odd because usually you try to protect your members from taking a vote on something that won't happen if it's tough politically. This is kind of the opposite. This is forcing everyone to walk the plank together.
Eugene, where does all of this fit in with news from earlier this week, the elections on Tuesday?
I mean, it gave everyone a different sense of urgency, right? Like you have what happened in Virginia, and they're nervous. That makes them nervous, and it makes them realize, I think, Dems on both sides I've talked to this week say that it's a reminder of how important it is to actually get stuff done in Washington, D.C., as trite as that may sound.
Is that going to save them, though? Will that save them?
It's difficult to know at this point, right? Because the most important part of this bill, or both of these bills, is the implementation and the rollout, right? Like, do these things actually change people's lives? Do they see a change in the way that their roads work? Do they see a change in the way that they're able to, if paid family leave for some strange reason Joe Manchin jumps on board, if that stays in, do they get to use that? And so I think it is much more complicated than the conversation happening on Capitol Hill, right? Because there are so many different factions, not just progressives and moderates, but there's factions within those factions, and the things that they want to tout when we move forward into an election year are going to be different than things other folks want to tout.
Yeah, well, let's move over to the Republican side of the aisle. After Tuesday's elections, Rick, big wins in state and local races, notably Virginia, where I live. The governor-elect Glenn Youngkin inspired record white conservative turnout. And we're seeing a lot of analysts suggesting he tapped into this well of white racial anxiety by complaining about the teaching of divisive racial issues in schools. Do you think the GOP sees this as a winning issue nationally?
Yeah, I think they see this as a base motivating issue. But I think there was a two-pronged strategy. And I think, yes, that some of these divisive issues around race are definitely part of the playbook, no question. He was talking about critical race theory, even though it's not something that's actually taught as part of the curriculum in Virginia public schools. But this is more than that. I think Democrats who only ascribe this to racism or to hot-button social conservative issues, I think, are missing an important part of the message, which is that Glenn Youngkin was also talking to the anxiety of many parents around COVID reopening, around the curriculum more broadly, also talking about inflation. Meanwhile, Terry McAuliffe was talking about Donald Trump. He really wanted to turn Glenn Youngkin into a Trump clone that would have worked in a year like last year where Biden wins by 10 points. It didn't work this year, and Democrats have to recalibrate their messaging accordingly.
Yeah, and on the campaign trail, I was at an event where they tried to trot out the term Trumpkin, but it didn't. It seemed to work in the end. Eugene, let's talk a little bit more about Donald Trump. Youngkin kept him at arm's length, didn't utter the name Trump on the stump, and yet he still brought out their right-wing base by, you know, suggesting election fraud. Is this an object lesson for future Republican candidates to kind of straddle the Trump voters and these critical suburban voters?
No, absolutely. It's the thing that they've been talking about doing throughout the Trump presidency and since, talking about how do you sell Trumpism and feel Trumpy without being Donald Trump, and some of the worst parts, they would say, of the way that he interacts, right? The overt racism, they would say. Some of the things that you look back, you say, well, as a president or a candidate shouldn't be talking like that. And so Glenn Youngkin was able to straddle that line in a way that is a blueprint for all of these other people who are going to be running. And it's whether it's going to work in every single part of the country, it's hard to know. But it's Republicans are already starting to think about that, thinking about how do I make sure that I bring out this Trump base and keep them from tweeting and saying terrible things about me and then in turn voting for me. But at the same time, like you said, not turning off these suburban white women. And as you know, Glenn Youngkin was able to do that using all of the things that have been said today.
By the way, Rick, where does this leave Donald Trump?
Well, he's declaring victory, and he is strong as ever. But there is another strain in the party. It's not the Never Trump Party, but it's the We Got to Move Beyond Trump segment of the party that says Glenn Youngkin won this despite or maybe because he wasn't full on MAGA. Yes, he said things that suggested that he was close to that base, and he had kind words to say about Trump, thanking him for the endorsement, saying he'd vote for him again if he's nominated. But he could have been a lot more in the Trumpy camp. And so you have, again, an odd situation where the Republicans can take out of this what they like. If, as Eugene said, choose your own adventure, the Republicans are doing that kind of choosing as well. And the people that are close to Trump see this as validation of Trumpism. People that are skeptical about his role in the party also say, look, Youngkin won because he was able to separate himself just enough with enough independent voters. Important to note, he flipped the suburbs. The suburbs that voted for Joe Biden by about 6 points in Virginia, they went to Glenn Youngkin this time in almost the exact opposite direction.
Let's take just a second here to listen to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on Fox News this morning. He was talking about Democrats advancing the social spending plan we were talking about and connecting it to these elections.
If they go forward with this, they are misreading what the voters said in Tuesday's election. Remember, this wasn't just about Virginia. We won in Seattle, in Texas, and others. America is waking up. They do not want this agenda.
Eugene, what do you think about that? I've been hearing some people say that the Democrats have gone too far to the left, but that, you know, others are saying that's not a fair criticism here. Where do things stand?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I feel like I keep repeating myself on the choose your own adventure, but it really is, right? Like, it is this idea that the party maybe is the party too left, and what does that look like and mean? But also, I think what people, when you see people vote against a party of whether president's in off of the president who is in office, you're often hearing people say the promises that they made aren't being kept. One of those promises is that people wanted to feel like Washington, D.C. was getting things done, right? We knew the GOP wasn't going to help Democrats pass these bills, but then you also have Democrats having a lot of infighting over, specifically for a while, just the top line number of this spending bill, Eugene, and not so much what they're actually doing.
I got to leave it there. Eugene Daniels is White House correspondent for Politico and Rick Klein with ABC News. Thanks to you both, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.